and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Botta and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, the 28th of January, 2016. Our phone lines here are 605-4567 with a 530 area code. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And it's 46 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for rain likely today and a high of 56. Heavy rain by tonight and a low of 47. On Friday, 100% chance of heavy rain, so get out your umbrellas. And Friday night, showers likely, low of about 42. Getting up to a high on Friday of about 57. And on Saturday, a chance of showers, high of 51, low of about 42. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, or right now our customers are
warm friends. Yeah,
locally and veterans owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Yeah, Chuck Kinney's out there. He was in the snow the other day loading propane tanks.
So,
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this man is nonstop. Good morning, Trish. Good morning, Bad Bob. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, Bad Bob, the other day, God bless him, you know, he's his tech guy.
Yes, yes, he is.
So, you know, so his battery wasn't running. So he's got this high tech battery charger. I mean, really. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of these things you can just...
It's a little booster.
It's a little booster, but it's not very big. I mean, it's like, how big is it? I mean, it's like the size of...
Take two paperback books and stack them end to end. That would be
okay.
About
okay.
The size
that's how big
they are.
So he goes out and he's, oh, here's my chance. So he goes out and he does the man thing. And I'm just like him. Plugs it in. Doesn't work.
The designer did not take into account that when you're using this thing, you're going to be irritated. It's going to be dark. And you're going
to there's a little button you have to push. There's a little button you have to push that you probably, if you'd read the instructions, it probably says something
failed.
Like
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you know, but he's like most guys. Okay, I look at this. You plug it in. You push this button there. That's it. No, not so fast. There's another button to push.
Yeah. So,
and here I was bad mouthing technology. Yeah, I was bad mouthing technology the other day, and of course it wasn't so much the technology, but it was us users.
Oh yeah, user error.
And
this is my
boomer tech guy too. You know,
yeah.
So well, you know, I'm getting some kind of strange visceral, you know, enjoyment out of this because you know everything.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you do. I mean, you ask a question. What about this? What about this? Bob's in here fixing, with barbed wire. You know, he's fixing the radio station.
Well, you know, just like anybody, when I'm under the hood of a vehicle and I'm late for work and I'm holding a mag light between my teeth trying to get the thing connected.
Yeah,
no, you
know what?
You don't,
stuff
you don't
yeah,
connect
know.
The negative to the positive
yeah.
and the positive.
Yeah.
Don't
well, it actually
that.
Warns you about that. It beeps at you if you can.
Oh,
really?
Wow. Oh, gosh.
Just
mine.
Remember, don't Ooh. Cut the red wire. Hey, how you doing, Trish?
I'm doing great. I'm kind of liking the little reprieve in the weather for a day. I always say it's kind of, you know, we get a lot of rain. We need the rain up here, and I'm anxious to have it. But, boy, was the last couple of days really nice with that sunshine?
Oh, yeah, and you know the lake's kind of we're only 100 feet from being full.
Yeah,
I mean you know there's possibilities there that
well
you know,
there
that
is if
it could actually maybe get there
if it continues up you know and the snowpack stays and continues to build it's looking good but
30 years ago today, Challenger
yes
on launch 73 seconds into the launch of Challenger space shuttle. And it had Christy McAuliffe in it, who was going to be the first kind of civilian, or the first, you know...
Teacher.
And was going to go into space. But she had competed against all these other teachers from the United States. And, you know, I can't help but think that number two must have been sitting there going, oh, my
wow.
God.
Yeah.
And this was one of those launches when people really paid attention to things.
Well, I remember we were all, you know, tuned to the
yeah,
TV.
This was going, you know, this was really in 73 seconds it started, and then you watch people, the families were out there and they were watching, and you could, and then there was an explosion in the sky, and people just didn't quite know what that was. Did it leave early or what happened? But then it was obvious. And if you ever, all of us who are back there from that time, if you were like, if you're, you know, 40 years old and probably you remember it, but 30 years ago, you remember what a huge disaster that was and how it affected the country.
And I remember the flight controller just, you know, being very professional, saying, obviously, a major malfunction of some kind, and one of the great understatements of all time. But that's what he was paid to do, you know, maintain calm when everything was falling apart.
And then they went down and they looked at it and they saw some of the O-rings had been damaged because of cold and down in Florida. But they had pushed on forward because they wanted to hit that schedule. So they went back and redid, I think, everything. But then just a couple years later, didn't we have the other one that was coming back into reentry? That would blow up over Texas.
Yeah, the Columbia had heat tiles that were damaged on takeoff and by ice, and the hull was penetrated and the interior burned, and then the spacecraft came apart from the stresses. And people expect this stuff to be cut and dried. That's why everybody making fun of the SpaceX thing. Oh, the rocket crashed and they tried to land it on a barge. Which is equated to putting a football onto a doormat after you've kicked it over the Empire State Building. You know, these things are going to happen, but we want instant success these days.
Well, you know, that's true, but, you know, on that one, especially on that one, because you remember the first man on the moon, everybody was there for that. I mean, everybody watched, and then the next one. But after a while, people stopped watching, and then they launched this with, you know, the space shuttle, and that was cool. And then they had that explosion. Then, of course, you know, I have my own. You ready for a conspiracy theory on this?
Oh, no.
You ready? Come on. Okay. Now, what happened after? What happened? A year or so after the Challenger blew up. Chernobyl, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my conspiracy theory. The Russians were so jealous of what we did.
Blew up our spacecraft. That they
found a way to, you know, damage the spacecraft, thinking, you know, they didn't know it was going to explode, but they found a way to damage it. Well, Reagan found out about it.
Hmm.
Okay, fine. He set an event. He set the events into place to have Chernobyl happen as a payback.
That's right up there with Fukushima being triggered by HARP, Carl.
I know.
I read that.
No, I didn't say it was true. I'm just thinking. I just said this to somebody, and you should have seen them. They just, you really, really? No. I just made this one up. Okay, you know, that's what I think. But it was it's a good theory, though. Come on now. That was, people. Pretty much already. Like, oh, really? Is that what happened? Oh, you know, okay.
By the way, I put up some numbers for you there, Carl.
I did. You know what? I'm sorry.
The rain's getting to him, fella.
I'm starting to wrinkle up here. Hey, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. And look at you coming in this morning all bright-eyed and ready to go.
That's because I had a good night's sleep on my 55 setting.
On Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting is now 50. Uh-huh. I'm working my way up to that. And you know what? We've talked about this for a few years. You've had your Sleep Number now for how long?
Oh, well over 10 years.
Well over 10 years. Made in America. They're guaranteed. They're rated number one by Consumer Reports magazine. You can't get a better sleep. We've just been enjoying it so much. Yeah, you know what? They are advertisers. But, you know, if for me, my health is really important. And if I can't sleep on something, I'll just not do it. And I'll just turn it back in.
Well, isn't that any more important to your physical health than a good night's rest?
Yeah.
If you're tossing and turning and waking and not just sleeping, the rest of your day and the rest of your whole body is impacted by that.
Yeah, and now they have this new Sleep IQ technology that you don't have to do anything but sleep, but then it provides maybe some suggestions like firmness of the mattress or, you know, if turning off the television 30 minutes before you want to go to sleep, or not watching or not using your computer for an hour before, you know, helps let your mind settle and let you get back in there. And right now, Sleep Number is having a lot of really great things happening. And they've got the Sleep Number mattress and Sleep IQ technology starting at under $1,100.
Wow.
Under $1,100. And how much is it worth? I mean, you figure if you, you know, if you buy a latte two or three times a week, you've paid for this, you know, you've paid for the Sleep Number in a couple of years. All of this, Sleep Number. But you have to go on down to the Target Shopping Center and go over and see Brian and Janice and find out just why we keep talking about this, why we're having such a, you know, why we sleep so well. Of course, in separate houses. But Linda sleeps very well on hers, too. And since you're here today, last time I saw her, she was at Sleep Number setting 40. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Trish Clark. At 17 after, we're going to be talking to we got a guy coming in, Red Smith, that's been talking to the people. He has the radio show State of Jefferson, and they've had several people that have been up at the site in Burns, Oregon, from the takeover, have been on the show. And he's been in contact with them, especially after what with the shootout out there, a man being killed, people being arrested. He's going to come in here, and we're going to start with what really started this, with the, you know, starting with the Hammonds, the father-son who were going back to jail.
That in itself is extremely
interesting.
Yes.
And then go on down to where we are now and in the latest here, because they've just arrested three more that turned themselves in. Bundy appeared in court. But we're going to talk all about that at 8 o'clock. We've got a lot more to talk about between now and then, though. We'll be right back.
In life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, "I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me?" About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, "There's a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable." "Yes, I see," I said. The second said, "The quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable." "Yes," I agreed. The third scolded me. "If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle." I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, "Well, we looked it all over, and we all agreed. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys?" Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Vistar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at vistarbank.com. Vistar Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. 7:22 in the morning here on the 28th of January. 46 degrees out there, going up to 56 today, but we're going to have rain coming in around noon.
That's
heavier tonight than all day tomorrow.
Tomorrow, a real downpour.
Yeah, weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Hey, you know Sam Allen, right? You've heard Sam Allen. She's the one that started that, you know, talking about the things that are going on downtown and got everybody fired up.
Okay,
and then,
yeah.
And Sam was talking about, you know, she had it on Facebook. She says, you know, what's happening to our town? And she's been battling, you know,
for a
couple of years at least. And making a point and has done a lot to, get, you know, take back Reading going and all these things. And she has this boutique called Carousel that Linda goes to and all the girls, and they like it a lot. And she's battling it out drunk because she's down there by Library Park, you know. And so she's been battling it out with the men and women down there, people. You know, I mean, it's just, it's been a...
Some of the business owners in the downtown area.
She kept going, but now Sam is retiring. She says, you know what, it's been enough. And so she sold the store to not shutting it down, sold it to Suzanne Russell and her husband. So the store will stay open, and it's got a really good reputation, really good stuff down there. But it's enough. She says, I'm retiring. And she may not even stay in the state. They may look up the Oregon coast or something.
You know, a lot of people, if you're getting ready to retire, and certainly with the issues that are going on in the state of California, the tax situation, a lot of people leave the state of California.
She's also in the Downtown Reading Business Association because she wanted to do something down here. And, you know, Vince Stevenson was the president of that. I was in it for a few months. And, you know, of course, that's when...
that's when the city of Reading wanted... Funds and
what? This is the dumb thing about it is that... Kristen Schrader accused everybody of nefarious acts and all
Brown this. Act violations.
Brown Act violations when nobody, including the city, knew we were under the Brown Act, including the advisor to the Downtown Reading Business Association. And so they did, you know, so they did away with everything. And what did the Downtown Reading Business Association do? Well, they provided money for the Christmas parade. They provided, you know, they're putting in these, they spent the money and they're going in now is these new trash receptacles around town. They, you know, so people put trash in them. You know, it had like several things. Bought bikes for the police.
Let's go back to the trash cans.
But they bought bikes for the police, you know, so they could have the bike unit where everything was great. Well, Downtown Reading Business Association bought those. And of course, they're a nefarious group of thugs that are running it, you know, all business people from downtown. And so, and Sam Allen was part of that. And I tell you, Sam was, I think that was one of the things that really got to Sam was that, what did Kristen Schrader mean is that, oh, you guys aren't following the rules and money's being spent, you know.
And they dissolved you and did away with
you.
Well,
they dissolved the bid. They dissolved the downtown.
What's taking place now?
Well, nothing. They dissolved the Downtown Reading Business Association. Or not the bid, but the bid, which is the one that collects the taxes for, to spend money downtown. Now, I imagine here they'll get around back to it and start it up again. They're going to try start it back up again so they can give it to give it to somebody, which is, I think, was what happened to begin with, my opinion.
Okay, I want to talk about the garbage cans in downtown Reading. This has always amazed me. When they first started doing all the work about the downtown post office and all of the different places, and they started putting in these little kiosks here and there and everywhere, there were never any garbage cans. I mean, you'd walk out of a store, let's say you had a candy wrapper in your hand or you had a tissue in your hand, or you'd look around at all these places, and there was no place to throw your trash. And you know what the argument, when I called City Hall about it a couple of times.
What was the reason?
You're doing all they said, well, because if we had put in trash cans, that's a whole other level of maintenance where we have to go and clean and empty those on a regular basis, and then other people,
right.
And I said... Yeah, but people have trash. If there's not a place to throw it,
what
are
they
just going to throw it in the street? And then don't you have to clean it up?
You walk this whole block, two blocks, three blocks,
yeah,
right here downtown on Market Street. I can tell you how far it is from Taco Bell to our front of our building because we have planters out here.
Uh-huh.
It's worth one burrito, a medium-sized Coke, and maybe something else.
Yeah.
And they'll finish that by the time they get here and they drop it in one of the planters going by.
Exactly.
And so now I understand the Downtown Reading Business Association, because they are still there, but they're just kind of like never have any meetings. They're going to put one of those trash receptacles right here in front, you know, in between us and the next business.
Yeah.
So people can come by and just dump their trash into there. And they've got some kind of arrangement, so it's emptied. And it's the type of trash can that you can't, you know, like, do things.
It's kind of
like bear. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like bear proof or something like that. You know, each one of them costs like $1,000.
There's a drop slot in the front or something.
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I have no idea because, you know, I just know is that
they are an issue. But
at least they're putting them out there.
People's first response is to find a trash can when you have garbage in your hands. I mean, that's the first thing you want to do with it is throw it into it. Now, if there's not a garbage can around, most people are going to just take it and throw it on the street.
I don't do that.
Well, I don't either. I put it in my pocket.
Well, I put it in Linda's purse.
You put it in Linda's purse?
I put it in Linda's purse because, you know, the purse she carries is huge. So she never notices it right away.
But that is, and I mean, we can't expect people to behave responsibly if we don't even give them an effort at all.
How many times have you walked out?
That has always been a big issue with me.
I tell you what, I've walked out a couple of times to places, you know, and they're... If you walk out of a store and you've got all these receipts and everything, you know, and you just want to, you know, you don't want to take them with you, so what do you do? If there's a trash can there, boom. Banks are bad about this. You go to get, you know, go to the ATM.
Huh?
And the receipt comes out. You know, so where do you put it? So now I'm starting to find, you know, so it used to be a place where you could put out, you know, they had envelopes. You open it up and it's filled with these things. So a couple of banks have figured it out. They doesn't say trash. And some of them just welded them shut. But others have, there's no envelopes in there, so you can just put it in there. So,
yeah.
You know.
That
keeps you from just throwing it on the ground. So.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
I usually put it in my pocket and get back. That's why the back of my car looks, or truck looks the way it does. But no, I think it's a great idea. You know, trash cans. What is so hard about that?
This was a big issue with me when they first started to them. I had many conversations with them at City Hall because I couldn't fathom why I could come out of the post office. There was a little restaurant right there. There was a little, the hot dog stand out in front of the post office. All these things. There were no ashtrays and there were no garbage cans.
And there's trash.
And yet there's people standing around eating their lunch, smoking cigarettes.
Oh.
You know those are going to go someplace. So you need to put in a receptacles for them. It just makes good sense. And they say, well, other than that, the whole layer of other maintenance that we have to come by and pick up.
There's somebody in the other station here that smokes cigarettes. He goes out and he throws them on the curb, you know, in the street. But they don't stay there all the time. You know, when the wind blows. And, you know, he could...
Actually, in this area, if you just take about a half-smoked cigarette and lay it down any place, it'll be gone in 30 seconds.
Thank you very much.
Well, no, because I did smoke it one time. And when we were in, used to be in the Superior Title Company building right next door to the courthouse downtown. And I'd walk from the courthouse over to my office, and sometimes, you know, I'd take like two drags off a cigarette. And so then I would lay it down in the – we had a little ashtray out there in the back, and I'd just take and, like, stick it in the corner and because it wasn't really out, and then maybe run into the office to get something, come out, think, oh, smoke – well, it was gone. It was gone immediately.
Gone.
Oh, the whole cigarette. Gone.
And you saw one of the county court judges walking by smoking?
I mean, whoever – they didn't last in the ashtray. The whole thing was gone. So if it had – you know, if you didn't completely destroy it, if there was any butt left, it was gone. Never did figure out exactly who was smoking them.
Well, you know, Sungold says is that Bob Brannon used to take inmates out of the jail to the city streets to pick up all the garbage, and you know, now he's doing other things. But there's so much garbage along Churn Creek and Rancho Road, it's sickening. I see it all over Shasta View Drive, too.
She says,
I've been here a long time. I've never seen Redding so dirty. And they still have crews out, but I think they're spending a lot of time on the homeless camps, and that's what happens in picking up tons of garbage.
But anyway. What, you know, I never have been, that's a like I said, the whole litter issue, is it?
Yeah. Anyway.
The thing with me, and I don't understand how people, why do you throw it out of your car window? I don't understand
You know what,
that.
I have no idea why they do that. Now, I have a friend, I have an acquaintance down in New Mexico who's a fish and game guy, and they've got the same, you know, arrest things that, mm-hmm. you know, other people can do. He's following a car, and this guy throws out a bag of McDonald's wrappers and everything, just throws it out the window. Boy, Clint, boom. She pulls him over. Well, what'd I do? And he gets him for, like, you know, and it's a federal type.
It's a state thing
or something. He gives him tickets. He does everything. He says, and he says, I wish I could arrest you. And the guy's going, what, for littering? He goes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish I could arrest you. He says, but I can just do a cite you for. And he cites him for like 26 different things. You know, it was like $1,000 worth of fines. He says, you might want to think about this next time you throw out McDonald's out into my area out here.
I'm going to tell you a quick story before we take a break. Because when my son was very young, we had a basketball team from Sacred Heart School. We were coming back from a game one night, and I had a big van, so I had the whole basketball team in it. And we're coming back, and one of the kids throws a wrapper, candy wrapper, out of the window of the back car. I pull over to the side of the road, and I said, John, go get the wrapper. He looked at me and said, it's dark out there. I'm not going out there and get that wrapper. I said, we're not moving till you get the wrapper. So we all kind of sit there for a while. He finally looks at my son, and he goes, is she serious? Me and Rick said, oh, dead serious. We're not going any place till you get the wrapper. So he went and got the wrapper, came back. 20 years later, I ran into this kid downtown. He comes up to me, and he says, you know, I just got to tell you, I never have thrown anything out of a car in my entire life. He said, every time I start, I can just see that whole scene.
Well, I remember littering when I was a kid, and it seemed like it was okay. But, you know, as you get older and you find out that your mom will smack you in the back of the head when you do it, then it stops.
Yeah,
anyway, it's 7:32 here in the morning. Anyway, Sam Allen, you've done so much for the city. We're going to miss you, Sam. And I hope you don't leave the area. But if you do, you know, fair winds. And come by and see us. You know, in fact, we want to have Sam on before she leaves, really. Because she'd be a good person to come on and tell us, hey, Sam, what really fired you up that one time? Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
For a year-end clearance sale at Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue, every 2015 Kia Optima needs to find a new home. They've got to go now.
Every 2015 Kia Optima comes with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, plus you receive complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every vehicle purchased.
Take advantage of huge customer cash incentives like $2,500 customer cash right off the top or $1,500 KMF cash and 0% financing for 66 months when you finance through Kia Motors Finance. Either way, you're getting a wonderful car from a great dealer and at a clearance price.
No games, no hassle, just a great deal. It's clearance time at Redding Kia. Let's do this.
Plus tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation charges, any emission testing charges. Warranties, a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer. Go to Kia.com. Subject to prior sale on approval of credit ends 2/29/2016.
Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue on Facebook and RedingKia.com.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Redding Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
I'm excited about Second Tuesday Dinner in February because we're going to the Cottonwood Eatery located in historic downtown Cottonwood.
That's right. With old-fashioned country hospitality, hometown food made from scratch and served up with the right amount of love and attention.
I love the friendly community feel, the branch-style food, and the amazing desserts.
Please join us at the Cottonwood Eatery on Tuesday, February 9th as they generously donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society work towards a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder. Now you're not here.
One of the greatest theme albums of all time, in my opinion, Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 25 minutes until 8 o'clock here with Trish Clark and Carl Bach right here at KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio, 46 degrees, going up to 56 today with lots of rain coming in.
Yeah.
As so it's reported by Shasta Gas Propane, who gives us the weather reports. Give us a call, 605-4567. We're going to be talking about the whole thing up in Burns, Oregon today with some people that have been in contact with them and have talked to them. We talked about the Challenger, and what do you think about Trump? Tonight's the debate. Trump's, he's an outspoken guy that said, you know what? Megyn Kelly if she's going to be on there, I don't believe she's fair, and so I'm not going to be there. She's going to be one of the moderators. And, well, what do you think about that? Because I've got some other things here I want to talk about.
Well, I think he's a prima donna. I mean, that's gone blown so far out of proportion. The debates in my mind for Donald Trump haven't been a big deal because he has behaved himself. He hasn't been a big focal point of the debates as such. And he does way better just on his own in his rallies and out there. He gets a lot more promotion out of it and what have you. And I think he's bored with it. I think he's done those debates. He really just doesn't want to do any more of them. I think he's used to having his own way. And so he thought if he said, oh, I'm not going to do it if Megyn Kelly's on there, they'd pull Megyn Kelly off.
I'm not sure he thought that. I think he probably knew they weren't going to.
Well, I don't know, but, I think it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
I've said from the very beginning that I think it's been a great thing that Donald Trump has got involved in the whole election process. He brought it to a level that it's not been before. He's got notoriety. He's got people that have never paid any attention to it in the election or the process or the nomination involved in it. And so that's a good thing. Certainly, he's speaking it right straight out and saying what the problems are, and I like that a lot. My favorite person still is for the president is Ted Cruz. I think he has proven himself. He's what I want in a politician. He's for smaller government. He runs on an issue. He does what he says he's going to do. So trying to tag him now that he can't get along with anybody. No, excuse me. He's gone back there and he's done exactly what we sent the people that elected him sent him to do. And he'll do more of that. He would try to restore our constitution. He'd do a lot of good things. Donald Trump has been good for the race. And if he was the nominee, I'll vote for him. I mean, anybody on the Republican ticket beats what we've got now. So, I mean, I'd vote for any of them. But my first choice is Ted Cruz. And I don't think it makes a darn bit of difference whether Donald shows up on the debate or not.
Well, now things they're all coming out. Other media sources are coming out. They're saying Kelly's not fair and that she's hosted an anti-Trump panel on one of her shows. And that, blah, blah, blah. But to me, it's like this. This is if she is a political commentator, an entertainer, much like Trump seems to be right now.
Exactly.
But what it can indicate is, if I don't have time for this, or I don't want to even do this, deal with this, I'm just not going to do it. I think there's so many things that you have to do as president that you would just not want to do.
Yeah.
That this is kind of insignificant, but does it portend of things in the future? I just don't really want to deal with all this tedious day-to-day, you know, BS about, you know, all this, you know, about, yeah. about HUD or, you know, or what about cleaning up the national parks? Yeah, just,
that.
You know what? So you surround yourself with really great people that can do that. I mean, that's the idea. And that you're up there at the top as like a CEO and you're making changes and you, but you're running everything. But it's still a mundane, it's kind of like the Spartans when they fought. You get in there, you push your shield up against the other guy, and now you just start grinding. I mean, you're grinding a lot of the times. So I kind of feel like he's like, I don't need to do this. You know what? Really, frankly, it just it's a waste of my time. I don't really want to have her hammer on me, and then people make these comments. So and maybe the other thing, too, is that, you know, he said some pretty harsh things about her. Maybe he doesn't really want to look at her across the room and say, yeah, I just called you all those names.
Do you remember when we talked about this, Carl?
He accused her
of
having
her
period or she was on her period or something. I mean, come on. I
yeah.
mean, you know what? There's a certain point here, you know.
But, Carl, you know, you and I talked about this when he first got in the race, and I told you at the time that I really felt like this is a man that gets in, gets things done, moves on. Does he really have the patience to do the same job for 4 years? I mean, he's not going to go in there and slam dunk and do things on a regular basis, walk in the door, say, okay, today we're going to solve this problem and have it solved, and then move on to something else. I'm just not sure he's got the personality, the stick-to-itiveness to see anything through that.
I don't know if anybody does. When you think about this, you've got the world's biggest economy. You've got the the world's biggest army. You've got the more enemies than anybody else in the world. You've got, I mean, just right there, what can you do to solve these things? You know, like we have an education crisis. We've got an energy crisis. We've got, housing, homeless, VA, the veterans, you know, all these things are happening. And, so, you know, it makes you almost wonder if one person can handle it or not. Now, I believe one person can set the tone and put people into the right jobs. Am I ever going to be able to drop a mortar round onto a specific target as well as somebody that does it every day? No. But I knew how he did it, and I knew how to do it. There are so many things out there that you've just got to be able to assign the right people to. So,
but I don't think he's got that's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure
he's a hands-on, go in. Here's the other thing that's really bothering
me. If it's a control freak type of thing, here, where probably most of them are, but he's
got
to be able to turn. Yeah, that's what I would think.
But here's the main thing that's making me the craziest about Trump right now is all of his conversation about how he can, because he's a negotiator. Hey, I can go and I can negotiate with all these people and I can get along with all of them and I can sit down and I can make a deal. I can make a deal with the Democrats. I can make a deal with this guy. Well, darn, Carl, if I'm thinking, that's exactly what they've done for the last 8 years, is sit there and make deals with them and ignore the American people. I don't want somebody to go back there and get along with the Democrats. I want them to go back there, and as you indicate, I want them to be the leader.
That's right.
Set the stance. We have a perfectly good document to guide them in all those decisions. It's called our Constitution. I want somebody that's going to go back there and follow it for a change.
I would like the leader to be able to reach out and start embracing the ideas that we are one nation.
Well,
one nation under God, but we are one nation. And, you know, frankly, if you don't want to believe in God, that's fine. But we are a nation that needs to work together.
This country was found on Jewish,
I understand Christian, that, and you protect people's rights. Frankly, if somebody doesn't want to bake a birthday cake or whatever, or a wedding cake,
so be it.
Yeah, so be it. You know what? Okay, then go to somebody else. You know, that's just the way
it is. It's not like that's the only place in town you can get a birthday cake or a wedding cake.
But you want to also protect the rights of those of same-sex marriages. That's the law of the land, so you protect that too. But you've got to do it in such a way, you've got to pull them together. And, you know, and build teams here. And if it means bringing every Democrat in, letting them sleep in the Lincoln bedroom, you know, from the Senate, if the White House, and you bring them in and just, okay, hey, look, what can we do to make this country better? Reach out. You give them a chance. Now, here's the other part. On the other hand, they don't want to work together, then you just have to do it yourself, and you just push things through.
Well,
but you'd like
because,
it to be.
Because they've been in control for how long back there? And I don't remember the last time one of the Democrats reached out and said, how can we make this better for you, Republicans?
But that's what I'm talking about. We need to do that. We can't just, you know what? Oh, you did that, so I'll do that. That's a little girl's argument. That's a little kid's argument. Oh, you did that, so I'll do this. No. Just because they did it wrong doesn't mean, I didn't mean a little girl's argument, but a little kid's argument.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. Because my Mitchellak told that to me. I said, well, what about this? He goes, that's a little girl's argument. And I went, it is? It's a little kid's argument. You know, it's like, well, she did it, so if I can do it. No, that's wrong. If somebody does it wrong, you do it the right way. You do it the right way.
And the right way is to listen to the people who elected you.
Listen to the people.
What you said you were going to do when you got elected.
Yes, that's true. But what you want to do is you want to try and get as many of the opposing party on board as possible. That way, you know, maybe they've got some good ideas. Mm-hmm. My God, you can't just cut out half of the people or a third of the people.
Well, you can't, Carl, but if you can't compromise on every issue.
I
you cannot
say
compromise
that. I did
on
not,
your principles.
I did not say that.
I mean,
that.
If they've got, you know, it's black and white sometimes,
you know,
and if you won the battle and you're the white guy, then that's what you need to, oh, I didn't mean that. You have the white flag, then you need to do that.
I understand. You're looking at things in a black and white thing.
There are certain issues that are black and white. Constitution is one of them.
Okay. And that's true. But it doesn't mean you can't bring in other people to bring them on board. I mean,
to try to convince them that the right way
to do it. And, but you don't, you know, situations change. Your value should never change.
That's right.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Join us for the Signature Gala event at the Cascade Theater, February 12th at 7 p.m. This elegant evening begins with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, giving guests a chance to mingle and bid on the live and silent auction items, including autographed prints and posters from some of the world's most renowned musical artists. The auction will be followed by an evening filled with champagne and dancing under the lights of the beautiful historical Cascade Theater. Proceeds from the Signature Gala will benefit the historic theater's artistic and educational programs, as well as its ongoing preservation and restoration. For more information, call the Cascade Box Office at 243-8877 or go online at cascadetheater.org. The Signature Gala event, February 12th.
Join us for Turtle Bay's most delicious event ever, Chocolate After Dark. On February 4th, you'll enjoy an evening of unique chocolate delicacies, distinctive wine and beverage tastings, and an exclusive preview of our newest exhibition, Peanuts Naturally. At just $35 per person with limited tickets available, this fabulous event is sure to sell out. So don't wait. Get your tickets today. This is a 21 and over event only. Buy your tickets at Turtle Bay or at turtlebay.org now. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Watt and Trish Clark. It is 11 minutes till 8 o'clock. Oh, God, we're all running out and getting coffee. They're running back in.
Nobody ran back in.
Oh, I see Dr. Maria's. I'm not sure what she's... I just read the last thing here. This is where my Irish and Mexican blood starts fighting itself. I'm not sure what that means, but it's kind of scary.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew on 2143 Hilltop Drive. Of course, Espresso Joe's. We're just talking about coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Run into Espresso Joe's and get great coffee there. Of course, you can buy beer and wine and do anything you want in that spot. And walk next door to a finest tobacco emporium. Got it all. Walk into the... You know what? I know you don't smoke anymore, but you walk into the humidor and just stand there.
I love this.
Ambience.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, the people there are so friendly. Everybody there at Tobacco and Brew. It's a better known business. It does so much for our community here, Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. So, okay. New Democrat bill, since we've just taken on Trump and all that. And new Democrat bill has been introduced in Congress that would let shooting victims sue gun manufacturers and dealers. Because, you know, they were shot with a gun built by Colt. So they're going to be able to sue Colt manufacturing.
And that's been introduced in the United States Congress?
Yeah, see, there was a, you know, they tried to do that before, and Congress introduced this, passed this law. It said, you know, Freedom of Commerce Act, essentially, for, you know, that you can't sue gun manufacturers because they sell a gun that's used in a shooting. So... And so they don't like this. No. They should be able to be sued. But it'd be like trying to sue Crown Motors for selling a Ford to a guy with a DUI, you know, that's had a previous DUI and then gets into a DUI. I mean, and you can't sue the company for something the guy did when they've got a legitimate, you know, they've got a legitimate reason to be able to buy it.
I can't even imagine.
Well, you know what? They're saying, well, the gun manufacturers are the only ones who are protected like this. No. No, they're not. If they sell a defective gun,
then
they can be sued.
Yeah.
If you sell a defective car, you can be sued.
And I'm trying to think the last time, because it's if you look at the statistics, more people are murdered with hammers than with firearms. I don't see anybody lining up to sue Stanley.
Or Sears.
Or Sears or Ace. Come on.
Really? Maybe we could. you know what? Talk about hammers. Okay, true story. My daughter's down in Albuquerque in a supermarket, one of those big supermarkets they have down there. And she hears the screaming and yelling. She runs around because she's a nurse. And there's this little kid's got blood coming out of his head. And there's this guy in a wheelchair. This little kid had been, you know, looking at him. He's like 4 years old or something. And the guy got agitated. And he wheels himself over to the hardware aisle, picks up a hammer, comes back and smacks the kid in the head.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you. And here's my daughter. She's going, meanwhile, the husband of the guy, he's punching the guy in the wheelchair. He's got him down on the ground. So Jennifer's taking care of the kid. You know, the kid was okay. She's trying to take care of the mother, who's hysterical. But the guy picked up a hammer and hits the kid. I mean, come on. It's kind of like, oh, okay.
Well,
I mean, who do you sue there?
Yeah, exactly.
The guy, the wheelchair manufacturer, obviously.
Obviously, the wheelchair manufacturer that got him to go over there, that enabled him to get the hammer.
Exactly.
And, of course, the hammer people for having a dangerous weapon without instructions that says do not hit people in the head with it.
Right.
It did not have that on there.
Yeah.
And, of course, the store who let this guy in to shop for food. And you know what?
They
it gets right down to it.
Up.
The little kid should sue the mom for letting the guy hit him, and the guy wants to sue the little kid for staring at him and forcing him to do this because he's obviously, you know, delusional.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But you talked about hammers.
Litigious society, and yeah. it can never stop. We need to start being responsible for our own actions and stop suing over every darn thing that happens.
Yeah. You know, we got Sam Paredes coming in here next week. We've got Gregory Cheadle on tomorrow. Now, here's Greg Cheadle. He's an honorable man.
Yes,
and
he is.
Wait till you hear the story about when he went over to the Martin Luther King Day celebration in Chico, at Chico State, what happened to him. Oh, it is just, wait till you hear this tomorrow.
Wow.
It's scary. It's absolutely scary. Anyway, okay. The Hillary, I just saw something that says Hillary I absolutely hope this is not true. They said she may skip on these on the server deal. That, you know,
but if
she walks away from this thing,
well, she's
without
going to.
Something she's sticking to her,
she's going to. She's going to get
I can't,
a pass.
I can't. They're saying FBI agents said, you know, they said that the director of the FBI would resign, but I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't believe that for a second.
Well, she just came out and said that she would make Obama a judge. Did you see that?
Oh, it'd be a Supreme Court.
Supreme Court judge. She'd appoint him to the Supreme Court. And you don't, and so you do believe for 1 minute that Obama's gonna indict the lady that's gonna give him his lifetime ability to destroy this country? I mean, are you kidding? That's not gonna happen.
I you know what, the next president is probably going to appoint at least one judge.
At least one and possibly three.
Possibly two or three. That's right. And then not only that, what they can do is they also appoint all these federal judges that are out there making laws happen, changing laws.
Yes.
So, if, you know what, you know, the first thing is if you can spell Constitution, and let's go from there. You know, if you can spell Constitution, let's start talking about it. What exactly does the First Amendment mean to you? What is it exactly does the Second Amendment mean to you? How about the Eighth Amendment? You know, all these things. You go through there and just have them just explain what it means to you. You know, but the thing is you see them in there, and they're questioning them, and they lie. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're thinking is that, oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you this because simply I want to be.
Oh, did you listen to the last two that Obama appointed? Or the one that Obama appointed?
Well, he's gotten two in there.
They said what they were saying was making me crazy. I mean, there's no way that they should have been on the, you know, they were just right straight out there saying exactly what they would do and they will do because they're so liberal. So, I mean, they don't even have to lie to get the appointment.
It's a living document.
No.
And by the way, chat room, I love limoncello, too. I've got a great limoncello story sometime when
we all... I've got a great recipe for limoncello.
I tell you what, we used to make that when I was stationed in Italy over there. Everybody was making limoncello. It's a digestivo, as they say. It's an after-dinner drink that you make out of...
delicious.
It's like 180 proof alcohol and lemons and sugar, and I think you can throw other stuff in there, too. But the problem with it is you just drink little glasses of it. If you drink the big glasses of it, then it just causes all types of problems after parties.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Everybody wants to play dead bug. Some of them don't get up after they yell dead bug and everybody hits the ground. Some of them just don't get up. So the Germans love to play that.
Dead bug!
I mean, they didn't understand it at first, and as soon as they did, that was it. They were on the ground. But they're overachievers, those guys. Anyway.
I guess later on that.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you know never heard that. It was limoncello. I didn't realize
it's limoncello.
Was...
You can use
I love limoncello.
Yeah, you can put it over other stuff, too. And you keep it in the freezer.
Yes,
so
you do.
So it's got to be extra cold.
And if you don't get that mix exactly right, then it freezes. And if it freezes, you know that you didn't get it blended well.
There'd be limoncello contest. You know, people would be making
it. Didn't have enough antifreeze in it.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. You'd have limoncello contest.
Too much sugar water, not enough vodka.
Oh, whatever it was. Or you can make it with vodka, too. But they were
making it with vodka or Everclear.
Yeah, Everclear. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, it's dangerous stuff. And every little restaurant had their own little limoncello that they would make. And so, I mean, you could get some that was just like, oh, you know, that your child drink, could drink it. But others of them, they give you these little glasses. Those little limoncello glasses.
And you sip it.
And when you sip it, it would lock your throat together. It was so strong. But. Okay. Again, we're having Red Smith. He's going to be calling in, it looks like, talking about everything that started up there at the Bundy, you know, at Burns, Oregon. First at the Hammonds, what was the background on that? And then with the Bundys coming in there and taking over the wildlife sanctuary. And then up into this morning when some other people were arrested in the shooting day before yesterday and all of this. So,
there's a lot of history there, and I'm hoping that they were going to get into that because that's been going on for a long time, and now it's come to a head with them having to go back into jail.
The BLM is there's a lot of people at war with the government already
not just there.
No, in our western states,
where the federal government has such great amount of public land.
Well, and a great amount of power, too,
because
they can force people off that land in the guise of environmentalism. All right, we'll be right back. Trish Clark, Carl Bott, KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR Shasta Ready.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The number of people seeking unemployment benefits fell last week. The decline suggests that businesses remain confident enough in future economic growth to hold on to their staffs. The number of those signing contracts to buy homes inched up last month, lifted by unseasonably warm weather in the Northeast.
The National Association of Realtors says its seasonally adjusted pending home sales index inched up 0.1% to 106.8. Signed contracts increased 6.1% in the Northeast, while they declined in the other three major U.S. regions. The small increase suggests home sales may plateau this year following a solid increase in 2015.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Orders to U.S. factories for long-lasting manufactured goods tumbled in December, with a key category that tracks business investment plans falling for a second straight month. It's a disease that is spread by mosquitoes and can cause encephaly in babies, causing them to be born with abnormally small heads. Now there's concern that the Zika virus, formerly contained in Brazil, may spread worldwide. Dr. Anthony Fauci telling CBS's This Morning, federal health officials do not expect a major outbreak.
If Zika acts like the other types of viruses that are mosquito-borne that we've had experience with, like dengue and chikungunya, we will see little mini outbreaks in Florida or in Texas that can be well controlled with mosquito vector control.
Officials with the World Health Organization are huddled in Geneva today to decide whether Zika poses a worldwide threat. Donald Trump says he will pass on the Fox debate tonight among the GOP candidates, but he thinks he'll do well in the state of Iowa.
It's an amazing state, and it's a very interesting state because the whole caucus system is so different.
And the Iowa caucuses are set for Monday on Wall Street. The Dow is struggling now. It's down about 33 points. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The First Hostage, a new novel from New York Times bestselling author Joel C. Rosenberg. The president is missing, and the unthinkable becomes reality. The result is a global high alert, a constitutional crisis in the U.S., and the world brought to the brink of catastrophe. The First Hostage, from Joel C. Rosenberg, another adrenaline-charged political thriller snatched from today's headlines. The First Hostage, now available at your favorite retailer or at joelrosenberg.com.
Witness the true story of a spiritual awakening that saved a high school and shook a city.
I'm asking you right now to stand up and make a decision to change.
Experience One Hope.
Nobody out there knows what's happened with this team. But when you win,
one truth
on this day,
one way,
they will.
Woodlawn, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In stores now on Blu-ray and DVD.
The government wants to make it easier for you to buy and use cable and satellite TV set-top boxes.
Chances are you currently rent your set-top box from your provider. The FCC is proposing new rules that would let you buy that box from a third party. That could be a boon to companies like Roku and Apple, which would then be able to add cable feeds to boxes that already offer streaming services.
That's correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Senator Patrick Leahy says lawmakers need to change their approach to fighting the war on drugs.
We cannot arrest or jail our way out of this problem. We've lost the war on drugs because we relied primarily on unnecessarily harsh sentencing laws.
Leahy says instead of focusing on the source for those drugs, demand for heroin and opioid drugs needs to be reduced inside the United States. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew. Blood tests show elevated lead levels in five children who live in rural northeastern Ohio, where lead-tainted drinking water has now been discovered.
Health officials say it's too early to know if the elevated levels are tied to the tap water in Sebring near Youngstown. The Ohio Health Department says it has a team of investigators meeting with the children and their families to determine if the water could be the cause. The state's health director says almost all lead cases are usually linked to sources other than water, sources such as lead paint.
As correspondent Rich Thomas said, Russians who took out mortgages denominated in a foreign currency are protesting now at their banks to demand that the loans be restructured. They chose foreign currency mortgages years ago to take advantage of low interest rates abroad, but when Russia's currency collapsed, the cost of repaying those mortgages skyrocketed, and now many people say they cannot afford to pay their mortgages with Russian dollars. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, and my Thursday girl's here.
I got love on the Thursday spot. Morning.
Yeah, I got on the spot with Linda Bott tonight. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 6 after 8 here on the 28th of January, 2016, and weather is rolling in.
46 degrees in downtown Reading. Rain likely by noon, 60% chance. Heavy rain tonight, a low of 47. It's going to get to about 56 today. On Friday, heavy rain, high of about 57 and a low of 42. By Saturday, we're looking at a chance of showers again, high of 51 and a low of about 42. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. It's our firearm dealer of choice. It's a locally owned, locally operated, started it like 7 years ago, about the same time we started the station. Can't say enough about John Bastiani and his guys down there. Customer service is just outstanding. Gunsmithing down there, two trained, very well-capable, very well-versed gunsmiths. Classes on concealed carry, hunter safety, all of this. One-stop shopping at Bastiani Arms at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Give them a call at 222-8222. Now, Trish.
Yes.
Something that we did earlier this week is that we promised, Linda promised, that we were going to give away two tickets to the Chinese Acrobats tonight at the Cascade Theater. So the second person that calls will get a... We have lines open, right?
They're, no, not at the moment.
We don't have bad. We don't have lines open. Okay, I tell you what. We're going to say this again and just keep calling. The first person that calls after the lines are empty, you get two tickets to the Chinese Acrobats down at the. You know, I tell you what, this is a great, great show.
It is.
We've
I'm
got
looking
two tickets,
forward to it.
Cascade Theater tonight. But right now, all the lines are closed, so we're going to talk to Billy Bob. Hey, Billy
and,
Bob.
And Red, you're still hot, so just be aware of that. Billy Bob, you are live.
All right, thank you. Hey, Carl, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Good morning to you.
Good morning,
hey,
Billy Bob.
Your comments on Trump and his. Backing out of this lollipop parade of called a debate, I have utmost respect for him.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he's just simply saying to everybody that I'm not controlled by the mass drive-by media, and that these liberals can't control him, even though Fox is the most conservative of them all. But he's just simply making a statement, and he's going next door, and he's going to put together a fundraiser for the Wounded Warriors. I don't know. I thought you would mention that, Carl. And he's got TV cameras coming in, and he's going to outdo the debate, and he's going to raise money for the veterans. And
well, you know what?
That's wonderful.
I did hear that that he was going to do. He was going to have something else going to town hall meeting. I heard that he was going to try and raise money. So that's true. And that's the point of view that you have that a lot of them are saying. Is that, hey, Trump doesn't need to do this. He's not going to be controlled by them. If he, you know what, that he's his own man. And guess what? You know what? If you're going to play that way, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to help the veterans. I mean, the man is masterful in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and he organized this veterans thing in less than 48 hours. Who else can do that? no one can organize, and he'll probably have 10,000 to 12,000 people there. He's flying in veterans, war heroes. Watch it. This man will get stuff done.
Well, you know, and what, Billy Bob? I didn't know he was flying in people from all over. But,
you're entitled to your opinion. I will just throw in one final thought on that. It makes me a little nervous when I have a candidate who has been who is being backed and supported unanimously by the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, all those people, and Fox is against them. That makes me a little nervous.
Who's for?
I don't know if they're for him. I don't think the rest of them.
Well, they're supporting him like crazy. Makes me nervous if they want him in there.
You know what this whole thing is? Anyway, are we,
I'm just saying.
Billy Bob, thanks for the comment because that's a very correct comment too.
Okay, now one other thought, Carl. And
okay.
I thought you might be interested. Do you know that Barack Obama has outlawed pork in all federal facilities?
I don't know if that's true, but okay, I'll go.
It is.
We can go check that.
Yeah, no, any federal building, any commissary, anything that has got a federal stamp on it is illegal.
I think you can. No, I'm sure you can still buy pork on the base.
I'm going to fact check that, sir.
Yeah, and I think I know what you're saying about, you know, I'd heard that in prisons. I didn't hear about it on anything else, but
it certainly wouldn't surprise me. Thanks,
okay,
Billy Bob.
Let you guys go.
Bye.
All right, thanks, Billy Bob. I don't know if that's. I mean.
It wouldn't surprise me if he'd done that.
Yeah, I know
however,
that, but I know
that's pretty far reaching.
Yeah, when you say all federal installations, I mean you're talking about all the bases and the PXs. I don't think
him to have even done it anywhere is wrong.
Anyway, okay, we're going to be talking to now the second caller who calls right now. Second caller will get the Chinese tickets or the tickets to the Chinese. Are we organized or what?
We have total chaos going on in the room right now.
And we have a winner.
We have winners.
We have a winner. And we also
blinking,
have
right. And we have Red on the
Red
phone.
Red on the line.
Is
Red ready to talk there, Bob? Red, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
for not being able to be in studio this morning, but there were some things that started breaking loose about 2 o'clock this morning that I've been in front of and still sitting here monitoring. So
okay, all right. Now it's Red is the one of the hosts of the Jefferson State of Mind on Sunday morning, and the for Kayla, your partner there is just a proud mother of another child.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, beautiful little baby. Red, we want to talk. You've been talking to the people that have been up there in Burns, Oregon. Since the beginning of this thing, and maybe before that with the Hammonds. So can you give us background starting with the Hammonds, which is what kind of precipitated all of this, so people will know kind of where did this happen, what happened with it? And wait a minute, before you start, George, congratulations. We've got your number. You've got to go down. It'll be at Will Call at the theater tonight. We'll make sure they've got your number and your name, and your tickets for the Chinese acrobats are down at the Cascade Theater. That's where you'll pick them up at Will Call. Thank you very much for playing and winning. Okay, Red, let's go.
Okay. And anybody that's curious on some of the background, I invite him to go to ShastaLantern.net, look at some of the articles that are there about the things that are going on in Hardin County and have been. Very quick background. There's a lot to it. Could probably take a couple hours explaining just this part. In 2001, Dwight Hammond, who was a rancher in eastern Oregon, whose land abuts to the Malheur Federal Reserve, lit a fire on his land to destroy invasive species, mainly juniper and sagebrush. Okay. He actually called the BLM that day to confirm that it was a burn day and received permission to light that fire. He lit that fire, it got off of his land, and burned 139 acres of the reserve land. Okay. He called and informed BLM that the fire had gotten off of his land. They responded by saying, just let it burn, it'll burn itself out. Okay. The other one is Stephen Hammond, who is Dwight Hammond's son, in 2006, lit a backfire on the Hammond property to create a fire break between his property and his livestock's winter feed due to lightning fires in eastern Oregon that were burning towards his property. the BLM had firefighters there that were on the scene of that fire, but they were not doing any fire suppression. They were allowing it to burn, and that fire actually ended up burning into the Hammond's backfire, into the break, and they couldn't determine how much land had been burned by the Hammond's fire or the Lightning fire, because they burned into each other. They estimated it at about an acre. Okay?
Yep,
now,
yeah.
Originally, the BLM attempted to charge these guys with arson. The county district attorney declined to do that on two different occasions. Then you come all the way back to 2012, and the federal government shows up and revisits this, calls a trial and a jury. There was never a grand jury indictment, even though they were going after these guys for terrorism, which is a capital crime. And they actually called the jury in a separate county from where they live. Okay.
Wait a minute. Hey, Red, before, let me ask, let me just make sure I'm getting all this straight. So the first one was in 2001, the first fire?
Yes.
And the second one was in 2006.
In 2006.
And so nothing happened in between.
Acres.
And nothing happened in between 2001, 2006, and 2012. I mean, there must have been something. I mean, did they charge them with anything? Did they say they were doing things or what?
Well, they went through the county and the state process of trying to charge them. The county and the state declined on those occasions to bring charges against the Hammond because they didn't find them at fault for anything.
Okay.
It was
now,
the federal government itself that finally brought charges in 2012.
Okay. Now, we need to take a quick break here. But okay, so where we're at is that because of 147 or 148 acres total, 2001, 2006, when these incidents occurred, in 2012, the feds came back and said, hey, we're going to indict you for terrorism. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Special Valentine's, where you both get lucky. Make your date night reservations at Elements Restaurant inside Wind River Resort and Casino for our Valentine's Dinner Special, February 12th through the 14th. Charbroiled filet mignon and lobster tail. Shrimp cocktails, sides, and chocolate tips, grand marnier strawberries with a glass of champagne for only $50 a couple.
With your River Club card.
After dinner, play your favorite slot machine on us. For details, call 1-800-280-UIN or visit windriver.com. Dining is better at the river. Play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Bingo.
Don't miss our monthly $24,000 bingo blowout, rock and roll bingo, and paper-only sessions, where 12 regular games pay $400. $25 for two books. Additional books are only $5, plus 10 lucky winners will be selected to play the Mystery Treasure Chest game
for a mystery prize.
So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Wind River.
For details, call 1-800-280-UIN or log on to windriver.com.
Bingo calendar subject to
change. Bingo is better at the river.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Happy New Year's. Kathy says we got more heaters coming in, and Johnny's been doing a lot of estimates and installs every day. So if you're tired of being cold, give us a call. Toyotomi kerosene heaters and on-demand hot water heaters. We also have a few used heaters for sale with great warranties. Danny's got the delivery trucks working every day. So check your tanks and give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. If you're tired of talking to answering machines and never getting your deliveries on time, give us a call. We don't have a salesman. We just have a lot of warm, happy customers. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, see Joe. In Redding, see Cody. He's the propane king. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test-driven it myself, but a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains and long desert stretches, made me feel uneasy.
I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later, he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Chris Clark. It's Thursday. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Alliance Heating and Air, in the business for well over 25 years, and voted best in the North State. Any type of HVAC system out there, they can fix, and they can guarantee their work. That's is a veteran-owned business. Like I said, voted best in the North State. Give them a call at 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. We're here with Brett Smith. We were talking about the background of what happened up there in Burns, Oregon, and we've gotten to the point where the Hammond family, the father and son, have been accused of terrorism by the feds because they built a backfire, and then they also had their own controlled fire that burnt a couple of acres or 100 acres of BLM, who told them to let it burn. So then they've come back in 2012 after, like, 11 years and 5 years, and said, hey, we're charging you with terrorism. Okay, go for it.
So they go through the trial. The federal government brought 14 separate charges against the Hammonds. The jury found the Hammonds guilty of one charge of arson apiece for each fire. Okay. After they were found guilty of arson and they refused to convict them of terrorism, the prosecution popped up with a congressional law out of 1996, the Terrorism Act, that stated that malicious destruction of federal property using fire or explosives is basically to be accounted as terrorism, and that the Hammonds had to be sentenced under that law. Now, the sitting judge from Oregon, Judge Mike Hogan, refused to qualify them for that law for several reasons. His first reason was they did not meet the intent, the requirement of malicious intent. There is no one during that trial that testified that the Hammonds had any malicious intent in destruction of property. There were several BLM officials that testified that they didn't believe that it was malicious.
Didn't they accuse him of having a poaching operation? He was trying to burn stuff to cover it?
That came later, and that is important. So remember that, because that ties into the corruption that's going on after this with the resentencing. So then the judge went further to say not only do they not meet the requirements of this terrorism law, even if they fell within the parameters of this terrorism law, I would nullify that law as within my jurisdiction to do under the Eighth Amendment, because I find it cruel and unusual punishment, and it would shock my conscience to convict these men to terrorism for this act.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
He threw that out.
Right.
He sentenced Dwight Hammond, the dad, to 3 months in a federal penitentiary, and the son a year in the penitentiary, because he had a prior incident with Fish and Wildlife well before any of this occurred. But it was on his record, so he went for a year. The Hammonds served their time, not a problem. They come home, they go back, they're tending their land. 3 years later, in 2015, the federal government shows up and nullifies their sentence, resentences them as terrorists. There was never another trial. There was just a resentencing, okay, and resentenced them as terrorists and remanded them to federal custody for 5 years apiece with time served.
Okay, now they said that what it was said under the statute that the judge had to put them in jail for at least 4 years, and that the judge sentenced them incorrectly. Wasn't that what they said?
That is what their argument was.
Okay.
Now, in order for the federal government to do this, there is an appeal process to vacate the sentence. These appeals to sentences like this are very rare. You could probably count them on one hand. Okay. It requires the signature of the Attorney General of the United States of America or the Office of the Inspector General of the Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, there is a guy named Jake Klonowski, who is the attorney advisor for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals Inspector General, that would have been the advisor on this appeal. His brother, who is a special advisor to the mayor of Portland and listed as the right hand of the mayor of Portland, his brother Zach Klonowski, he and Jake have started an organization called Go Home, which is to raise funds to demand the immediate removal of the guys at the Malheur Reserve. Okay? Now, that in itself is troubling, the position that he's taken, considering that he had the power to sway that appeal in the Hammonds case. Now, what gets worse is the judge that did the resentencing, Judge Ann Aiken, has numerous counts and complaints and censures for failing to disclose inappropriate relationships in her courtroom. One of the cases that was brought against her was brought against her as a class action suit by several attorneys in the state of Oregon against two federal judges and the Oregon State Bar. It turned out later that she was the presiding judge in that case, that she had a working relationship with both judges. She sat on a historical board with one of them, and the other one, she actually had sat on another board, and that judge sat on was partners in a law firm that actually paid this Judge Ann Aiken to speak. She was censured for that. There was another complaint that was brought against her where the plaintiff asked that a visiting judge be ordered in the case because of her inappropriate working relationship with the defendant.
Okay, now we've got like another 30-something minutes here. But the thing about it is that what you're saying is that she has been censured before because she has not recused herself when
that's,
she should.
That's correct.
Okay, so then what happened? She vacated it and sentenced them to 3 more years?
Yes, but the thing is that to do that, they required the appeal from the Inspector General's Office of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is that Jake Klonowski guy.
Right.
Judge Ann Aiken's married name is Ann Aiken Klonowski. Both of these guys are her sons.
Oh, God.
Okay.
It gets better all the time, huh?
Okay. So, obviously, there's at least it looks like she should have recused herself from this whole thing. Are they shopped for her?
Well, there's
okay.
One more.
One more.
If anybody has seen the Greg Walden piece where Congressman Greg Walden from the district out there in Oregon basically laid the whole situation out before the House of Representatives and called out BLM as being responsible for creating the situation. You can go on YouTube to find Greg Walden. You'll find it. Now, back in the early 2000s, Greg Walden and several people drafted a joint cooperation law that was a landmark law that actually had the ranchers, the environmentalists, the BLM, everyone sit down and draft a cooperative management plan that was going to work for the farmers, the ranchers, and the Malheur Reserve out there. They passed this law in 2000, and the Hammonds were instrumental in helping to create and draft this law. And in 2006, that law was vacated because it was found to violate the Federal Environmental Protection Act by Judge Ann Aiken.
Mm. Oh.
Okay. And that was predicated heavily on affidavit testimony of a judge from Harney County, Stephen Grasty. Okay. So you have a very deep incestual relationship going on here.
Yeah.
With this case surrounding the Hammonds.
Okay. So it was vacated. We had all these things that are happening. She sends him back to jail for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it would be 4 years and 9 months for Dwight Hammond, who will probably die in prison, and 4 years for Stephen Hammond.
Okay. So when that happened, it led to what?
Well, originally the Hammonds had requested that nobody, you know, they didn't want any interference from the militias. They didn't want any kind of standoff situation. They didn't want anything. Because according to a statement from their lawyer, they had been threatened by the federal government that if they protested anymore, that they would find a very unpleasant place to put them in the federal penitentiary system, and that they could have other problems such as their grazing permits not being renewed by the federal government.
Okay. So they were then, according to their lawyer, they were threatened by the feds.
Yes.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. We'll be cut this short, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Trish Clark, we're here with Red Smith, and we're talking about what happened to him is now we're leading into the occupation or the protest and then the occupation and then, into, of course, into the shootings. We'll be right back.
Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:31 in the morning, 46 degrees, going up to 56 today. A lot of rain's coming in. If you look at radar, KCNR radar, it is rolling in here. It should be hit us by noon. 605-4567. We've got people lined up on the phone here, but we're talking to Red Smith. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue. Great place to get a haircut, the best place in town. Man's last stronghold. Right off Athens Avenue across from Subway. Veteran-owned discounts for seniors and veterans. Red, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, so the lawyer says they were threatened by the feds that if you try and make any trouble here, not only are we going to put you in a horrible place, we are going to take away all your grazing permits, which is what probably the whole thing's about anyway.
And it is about the land.
And so they said, okay, look, we're just going to go to jail. And then what happened?
Well, the last part of the sentencing that's important, though, is the Hammonds were hit with a $400,000 fine for destruction of federal property. Problem with that is during the original trial, they never assigned a monetary fine to their sentence because when they asked the federal government how much damage was done to the land, the BLM specialist testified, I can't give a number to that because the Hammonds burning the sagebrush and juniper off actually improved the value of the BLM land.
Exactly, and you're only talking 140 acres anyway.
Yeah.
And they fined them $400,000 for this. The Hammonds had to put up a piece of their ranch for sale to pay this fine because they've been given 36 months to pay the fine, in which the father and son that bring the bread home are in prison. Immediately, the BLM showed up under eminent domain with the first right of refusal for sale on the property.
So they bought the Hammonds' land?
No, the Hammonds didn't sell it to them. They showed up with a court order that if the Hammonds were to sell a chunk of property, that they were to give the BLM first right of refusal to purchase it.
So they didn't, but they still didn't sell it to them.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So they're so when did the Bundy show up?
Okay, there were several patriot groups that were in Burns during this time that were peaceful. They were communicating with the sheriff, this Judge Grasky that was out there trying to seek recourse for the Hammonds legally. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This culminated in the Hammonds departing for prison, at which time 3%ers of Oregon, Idaho, the Pacific Patriot Network, which is
what's a 3%er for people that don't know what that is?
A 3%er is a reference to the original 3% of the population in the Revolution that fought the Revolutionary War against the British.
Okay, all right. So you had all these groups that were together there.
They with the Pacific Patriot Network, which is an amalgamation of several other organizations, held a peaceful march through Burns. They marched past the courthouse where they threw out nickels and quarters and dimes at the sheriff's office to tell them what they thought of their elected official. And they marched to the Hammonds, where they left flowers and food and things like that, and they turned around and went home. At that point, Eamon Bundy and his crew arrived, and split off from the from that and went out to the Mount Hewer Reserve and occupied it.
Okay. So after he wasn't there for the peaceful march, but when he brought up, I don't know how many people, they went out to the wildlife preserve, which was, there was nobody there, was there?
No, and according to them, they never even broke in. The place was unlocked when they showed up.
Okay, so they go there to take it over to bring notoriety and to bring publicity to what's happening.
With which everybody is in concurrence with that was the wrong thing to do.
Right, because they were using
the other Patriot groups
that
were out there did not support him and actually publicly denounced that the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, said this is the wrong thing to do. And have urged Eamon Bundy and his guys all through this situation to leave the reserve.
Right. Now, the Three Percenters and others took surrounded the place at one point, right?
Well, when the FBI arrived and things were kind of confrontational between the occupiers and the FBI, the Pacific Patriot Network arrived and said, look, we're going to create a neutral buffer zone between the FBI and the occupiers just to make sure that there is no nonsense on either side. We will be a neutral go-between so that you guys can negotiate with us. We can, you know, make sure that everything remains calm. And that's when the discussions with the FBI actually begin to occur, and there was talk of resolution and negotiations to end the situation.
Okay. All right. So now the FBI is there, and as you said, a lot of people were against the idea of them taking over this piece of property, and because they did it armed. It's one thing to go in there and say, hey, we're going to come in here and take this, but they were armed. And was there any threats by Bundy and his people?
No. They did not. The only thing that could be construed as a threat is they said that if the government attempted to remove them, they had no intention of leaving.
Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, I mean, I've read different things too that. Was there, was there threats of violence from both sides? Wait a minute. Okay, so they're out there. They've taken it. There's men and women, children out there, and they're making their point. And Bundy's and they're giving press conferences all the time about how unfair the government is, and that they. What were their demands?
Well, as they dug through the records out there at BLM and the FBI, if you don't know, has sealed the Harney County Sheriff's Office and Courthouse Office. I was told that there's over 30 FBI agents that are going through the Harney County Courthouse records looking at these allegations of impropriety by Judge Grasby and the sheriff and BLM and different things.
Okay.
Eventually, what the demands came down to from Eamon Bundy were three demands. Number one, non-negotiable, the Hammonds come home.
Okay.
The number two demand was that the Mount Hewer Federal Reserve be handed over to the custody and maintenance of Harney County and its citizens. The third demand was that a common law grand jury of 25 citizens of Harney County would be constructed outside of the court system to listen to the evidence presented by different ranchers and farmers for their complaints against the BLM, and that if an indictment was brought by that grand jury, that there would be prosecution.
Now, for people who say that name Bundy sounds familiar, and it's not that TV show, it was Clive Bundy, and there was a big face-off down in Arizona or Utah?
Nevada,
I'm sorry. Nevada, that BLM was moving in on their land, backed by Harry Reid, and a lot of people showed up and said, no, you're not doing it. And it ended with, I guess, Bundy's able to keep his land, right?
Yeah. And, well, I, at the end of the day, Clive and Bundy was in the right of it.
Yeah.
Whether his actions were right or wrong, legally he was
right. Right. And that's why he was able to win that. Okay, so these are his sons that came up here.
Ryan and Eamon.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so they came into a situation where the people didn't want them there. For the most part, the Patriot groups said this is not a good thing to do, and yet they went in and they took it and came up with three demands that you could just kind of take a look at it. That, you know, a couple of them, there's, you know, I could see maybe the grand jury or the 25 citizens maybe, but those other two were kind of like going to be really, really hard to accomplish.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody outside of Ammon's group had any expectation of that coming to fruition.
Okay. All right, so they're out there, they give these three demands, and like you said, people say, well, you know, that's not going to happen. So then what happens?
Well, the occupation went on for several weeks. The other Patriot groups with the Pacific Patriot Network started doing a lot of community outreach up there. They started doing things like shoveling fire hydrants clear and clearing seniors' driveways of snow and doing community activism, hosting town halls for people to come forward and discuss with them things that had gone on, explaining the Constitution to them, taking into account the community's concerns. They were actually instrumental in getting the school out there in Burns reopened because the FBI had shut it down for fear of the students, and they finally convinced them, look, nobody's going after kids. This is ridiculous. Give the people of Harney County back their school, things like this. Now, this culminated in Chris Ann Hall. Are you aware of who she is?
Constitutional lawyer or something, right? Or
yeah, she's a constitutional attorney.
Okay.
She gave a couple of town halls up in Harney County explaining the constitutionality of the situation and explaining to people that the federal government owns no land in the United States outside of 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., and they manage the land under contract with the state of Oregon. This ignited a lot of the people in Harney County that started coming forward and telling their horror stories of BLM.
Well, I think that people don't understand. A lot of times, if you look at a map of BLM land, that west of the Mississippi, that just millions of acres.
Oh, millions! Yeah.
Millions of acres west of the Mississippi is controlled by the BLM, and in some states, most of it is most of the land is BLM fed land.
In some counties, 90% of the land
right.
is owned by the.
I don't think
government.
People realize
control,
how much.
Yeah,
it's not. You know, I guess you would say owned or controlled, but what they do is they'll lease out this land for grazing permits, but then they can take that away too.
And a lot of it's in wilderness.
Right. Okay.
Which is totally shut off.
All right, we're just adding things, Red.
I know. So this continues to culminate. Now they have a problem in Harney County because community sentiment is really starting to turn against the government there, against the FBI and the sheriff, because
right.
people are starting to come forward with their stories. Now, the thing to remember, in Harney County, a very large county, it's a very sparsely populated county, 50% of the people employed in Harney County are employed by the federal government in one manner or the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And there was a division growing between the federal citizens and the non-federal citizens on which side they were shaken out on this thing. Now, the Council of Western States, which is an advocacy group, they're pretty big. They've got their own lawyers and things like that, was coming into Grant County, which is the county north of Harney County, to meet with Eamon Bundy and the Sheriff Palmer up there to talk about spreading basically what was going on in Harney County and forming citizen grand juries to start investigating and things like that. It was on the way to that meeting that this quote-unquote traffic stop took place.
Okay. I want to stop right here, do a real quick break. We're doing a quick break early, then we can go all the way to the end of the hour. This is Carl Bott and Trish Clark. We're with Brett Smith. We're talking about, we did the background on what happened up here in Burns, Oregon. I tell you what, David, if you got a question or comment, I'm sorry, thanks for waiting. David, thanks for waiting. Do you have a question or comment?
Do you need to go to SMEDS?
Hello, David?
Yeah, I'm right here. Did you need to go to SMEDS?
No, why don't you
ask your question.
Oh, sure. Well, I was, when this thing first started happening, I went to the original indictment, and it was kind of clear when you see how it was written up that apparently there were two different fires, right? And in one of them, the Hammonds had been poaching on the BLM land, and they wanted to cover up the poaching. So they were handing out strike anywhere matches, and apparently the son and the nephew testified against them, and that they were handing out matches, and they whether they intended to or they accidentally burned down a huge number of extra acres, and that led to the whole indictment. But the terrorism charges, if I remember right, came from from the idea that they had, one of the comments showed up that they had actually been trying to fight off the firefighters who were trying to put out the flames, and that they were aiming guns at them
Okay.
wanted to cover up the evidence, and the firefighters were going to leave it exposed. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you're familiar with
okay.
that.
Okay, David, thanks for that. That's another
there's
part.
Always,
that,
there's always that,
it's other side on. Okay, David, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Sure.
We're going to take a break, and we'll address that when we get back from these messages. Carl Bott, Trish Clark.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. We're talking about what's happening, what happened up in Burns, Oregon, that started with the arrest and imprisonment of people who had been in fires that had started on their property, ended up in a shooting night before last. I like this. This said, somebody said something about the government owning the land, and the comment was, the BLM doesn't own any land. They are the Bureau of Land Management. All right, let's go back to Red Smith.
Okay.
Red, did you hear what what David said about all these things, about they were handing out pocket or matches that said spike or something?
Yeah. That is a complete red herring. The only person that ever said anything about poaching was the grandson of Dwight Hammond, Dusty Hammond. Okay. At the time of this incident, he would have been about 8 years old. What a lot of people don't know is that Dusty Hammond is mentally incompetent. His testimony was found to be inadmissible at the original trial, because he is mentally incompetent. He has mental issues.
What about the pointing of the guns?
No, there was never anybody that pointed any guns at anybody.
Was the allegation made?
The allegation was made, though, right?
Do you think that the district attorney of Harney County would have failed to bring charges against the Hammonds if they had been pointing guns at federal agents?
Okay.
Do you think that's reasonable?
That's a good point. Okay.
We have one more call.
Okay, one more call, and then we got to.
Let me touch on the poaching thing just really quickly.
Okay. All right.
Because that was the testimony that was used by Judge Ann Aiken in the resentencing to find that this was malicious action by the Hammonds. She took testimony that had been disqualified by another judge to find malicious intent for this resentencing. Judge and the prosecutor, Amanda Marshall, who has since resigned, by the way, amid allegations of improper relationship with a co-worker and stalking. She's also under investigation in connection to the Kitzhoffer pay-to-play scandal out at the Malheur Reserve with Tom Steyer, by the way. Was before she was appointed by Barack Obama as the U.S. District Attorney, she worked in the Child Advocacy Council, the U.S. Department, or the Oregon Department of Justice. She oversaw Dusty Hammond's case, okay? Judge Ann Aiken is the president of the board that oversees the Child Advocacy thing. Are you starting to see the connection?
Yeah, yep. Oh gosh, it just gets
okay.
better and better,
okay.
doesn't it?
So
that is the only person that ever said anything about poaching. There was never a discovery of any bodies of dead carcasses, deer. There was no evidence of it. And to be honest, any hillbilly that's grown up out in the woods knows that a brush fire is not hot enough to destroy bones.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Howard, you got a quick comment or a question?
Just a quick question. Red?
Yes.
My question is, I know there's a county in Oregon, but what if that county had a very strong constitutional sheriff? Could he have kept the federal government out of there?
That's just absolutely.
That's a good question, Howard. Thank you very much.
He could have taken the Hammonds into protective custody and canceled the memorandum of understanding with the federal government where they could not conduct law enforcement in the county.
Okay.
There you go.
It's a good question. Okay, that was a good question, Howard. All right, so now we've got, okay, we've got it up to now, so the, and if we have to, we'll go over the time limits, our station. Okay. All right, so now the Bundys are there. They were heading up to talk about a way of bringing in, having people testify about what was going on with the BLM. And at that point, the roadblocks.
Yeah, along 395 and Highway 20, there was a stop conducted. It's being reported that it was the FBI that conducted the stop. I'm being told that it was the Oregon State Police that conducted the stop. The people...
They said, I heard it was both. I heard it was both groups, sir.
I'm told that the FBI arrived on scene almost immediately after this happened. But
okay. All
the
right.
People I've spoken to are adamant it was the Oregon State Police that conducted the stop.
Okay.
And then Hammond, there was a convoy headed up. There was two vehicles stopped. Hammond Bundy's vehicle was stopped first. They got Ammon and his driver and Ammon's bodyguard and another person out of their vehicle without any problems, got them down. They stopped the second vehicle that was driven by LaVoy. That's the man under the blue tarp, the cowboy that
right.
Probably
the
everybody's seen.
Yeah.
Ryan Payne was in the front seat. Sandra Cox was in the back seat on the right-hand side. This Victoria gal we're going to talk about in a minute was in the middle, and Ryan Bundy was on the left. Now, they stopped, and the Oregon State Police ordered them out of the vehicle. LaVoy said, I don't want to get out of the vehicle. I'm worried they're going to kill us. Okay? They immediately called Sheriff Palmer in Grant County, who had become aware of the roadblock and was inbound to the roadblock, and Sheriff Palmer said, okay, stay put. Will you surrender yourself to my custody? Okay. Apparently, LaVoy and Ryan Payne said, yes, you come get us. We will surrender to you. We trust you. Okay. They are hollering out the window, hey, we're on the phone with Sheriff Palmer. We'll surrender to him. Oregon State Police are yelling, get out of the car, get out of the car. Ryan Payne sticks his arms and his head out the window and says, all right, everybody calm down. We have women in the vehicle. And the Oregon State Police start hollering, okay, let's get the women out of the vehicle. Payne puts his head back in the car and tells the women to get ready to exit the vehicle, puts his head and arms back out the window. Somebody takes one shot at Ryan Payne. Okay? LaVoy throws the car into drive and takes off down the road. Okay? He gets about a mile down from the original stop where the Bundys were taken in, where Ammon Bundy was taken into custody, and there's a roadblock. LaVoy tries to miss the roadblock, puts the truck into a snow embankment, immediately gets out with his hands over his head, screaming, if you're going to shoot me, just shoot me. They do. They shoot him in the face and put him on the ground and shoot him at least three more times after he's on the ground on his back. They begin to riddle the vehicle with bullets. Everybody is down on the floorboards at this point. And I guess because of the way that the truck was tilted into the snowbank and into the ditch, they didn't have a very good angle, and most of the hits were the bed of the truck and the body of the truck. At this point, Ryan Payne is wounded. Ryan Bundy is wounded with a gunshot to the arm. They continue to fire. According to the testimony of the gal that was in the vehicle, they were attempting to surrender, screaming stop. They were actually tear gassed five times before they were pulled out of the vehicle. Now, this account is based on the 18 or 19-year-old girl that was sitting in the vehicle when this happened.
Now her family had stopped by there. Was she one of the occupiers there?
No, her family is from Arizona. They're part of a church choir that had stopped at the refuge to meet the occupiers. They were actually scheduled to sing at the town hall meeting that the Bundys were going to. So her family traveled up to John Day, and she stayed behind to meet these people and ended up getting a ride with them.
Okay. So, yeah, I've heard what she has said. That she said they fired, you know, I don't know, she said hundreds of times. But
were the people in the vehicle armed?
She said there was two people in the vehicle that had sidearms. They never touched them. And even the FBI has not said differently. There was not a single shot or aggressive move made by the occupiers other than LaVoy taking off to avoid the stop. But that's being
after
reported as after they started shooting at them.
Yeah.
Okay, so there...
Has any statement been issued by any law enforcement agency as to what happened?
The FBI has issued a statement giving the basics. They said they will not report on the details until the investigation is concluded. That's being handled by the Deschutes Major Incident Task Force.
Well, the governor had been pushing the FBI to end this thing too, right?
Well, we a lot of people believe that's what ended up provoking this, and we believe that that's why it was the Oregon State Police that made the stop. Is the FBI wanted to resolve this peacefully, and all of a sudden Kate Brown remembered that she's a governor of a sovereign state and exercised her authority to use her police forces to start this.
Okay. Now, since then, since the shooting, and what's happened?
Well, there's been a lot of back and forth and siphoning through what's going on. Most of the people are out of the reserve. The women and children have been evacuated. I understand there's about 10 people that are left up there that are refusing to leave. Everybody with half a brain is trying to get them out of there.
Well, I understand that the Bundys have said, hey, look, this is over. It's got to go to the courts. Get out of there. You know, stand down.
Yes.
Three of them have turned themselves into the FBI. But I also heard is that they were digging trenches up there, too.
Well, there are reports that they are digging fighting positions up there. And now, about 2 a.m., the situation has been reignited because the FBI told everybody, if you come out of the reserve, you can come out unimpeded. There will be no arrests. You can leave. A couple of people came out of the reserve and were immediately arrested by the FBI.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'd heard.
That has led to the Pacific Patriot Network putting out a all-hands-on-deck for the state of Oregon groups and a national standby for the rest of the groups.
Oh.
So they're all coming in for...
No, I didn't say that. You just said that. I think what you're saying is that they're saying standby to come in?
Well, the all-hands-on-deck is a standby order to wait to receive orders.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. We got Mark Kent on the line. Mark, good morning. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Have you got comments here or updates?
Yeah, I have a comment here. You know, with this arrest happening, my question or my comment is, if these guys knew that there was a potential, the law enforcement, for a problem here, where's all the video cameras? Where's all the this should all be on tape from several different angles with these police officers, and just to cover their own butt, you'd think. And so I'm wondering, you know, are we going to get some video out of this somewhere? Somebody should be sneaking it.
You know what I heard? I heard a comment from somebody that observed this, but they weren't with the... They said that they saw it from a distance, so, you know, that they saw, you know, shooting, and... But I'm wondering who in the heck that was, and you're right, though. There's usually, I mean, the ubiquitous cell phone camera. And yet there's...
Well, these police cars for stops are supposed to have video cameras. And, man, I'll tell you what, that's kind of suspicious. If there's no video of this by these police officers, that kind of stinks.
Yep. Well, they know that's going to be a question that's going to come out. Of course.
Yep,
it is. And that was one of the things that I thought is, well, I'm sure that they've got... You know what?
Somebody
it's easy.
Had to have a cell
it's
phone.
Easy. Well, no, but it's going to be easy to... With something like that. Of course, these guys were the secondary stop also. You know, the first stop was to get everybody. So this was the next group. This was the secondary, you know, the outer ring in case they got past that. So,
The first stop should show some, there would be indicators of what happened to the second stop.
Right.
Because if they just started shooting at them willy-nilly at the first stop, I mean, who wouldn't put it in drive and try to get the hell out of there?
That's true. But I've seen video, though, and I think you have too, of them taking, arresting them, handcuffing them, putting them down the ground. So there were cameras there at that first stop. So they should have something to second stop. You're absolutely right. Okay,
yeah.
Mark, thanks a lot. Okay, Red, can we wrap this one up? Red.
Already, yeah, I'm still here. So
yeah,
it is definitely a it's still a wait and see tense situation, but you know, this is not over one way or the other. This is not over.
Well, you know, it's like you said, a lot of people just said, you know, my whole thing on this was wait them out. You know, they're not harming anybody. And nothing they were doing was going to cause for, you know, loss of life, and I didn't want to see an assault on the camp. But then again, we get right, you know, we got to go back to that rule of law that when they stop, you're under arrest, you know what? You let them arrest you. So anyway,
I spoke to a sheriff in regards to how the stop went down, and he was pretty adamant that procedurally, if the facts are as they sound like they are, they didn't even follow procedure.
Well, and that's one of the things.
Especially if they shot a 60-year-old man that's 80 pounds soaking wet with his hands over his head.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And let's just hope that comes out, because it's like Mark said and other people, is that there's got to be some video somewhere on this, I would imagine, that shows what happened. Anyway. Okay. Hey, you know, Red, thanks a lot.